This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with me, Roshan, Noel and Chuang. And before we get into our next story, Chuang, why don't you tell us what's going on in the market? Has anything significant changed in the last 20 minutes?
I will indeed, Roshan. Serba Dynamic up by 9% to 183, having won about $1.8 billion worth of jobs in the United Arab Emirates. Also, having talked about Rubberex seeing a new shareholder yesterday, now they are up by 11% to 96 cents. And of course, the rubber glove makers bouncing nicely. Supermax at 187, Comfort Glove 94.5, Top Glove 676, Care Plus 32 cents, Rubberex 95.5. And of course, we also have Public Bank at 1580. Just thought I'd slip it in there, Public Bank.
Yeah. Very nice, Chuang. Talking about stocks, so in about 15 minutes, we'll be taking a look at Zoom with analysis from Dan Romanoff, analyst with Morningstar, especially because of how they've really zoomed in the stock market in recent times. So now, let's talk about media freedom. The convergence of the global pandemic, social media, and the movement control order is creating an environment that is, well, ripe for misinformation to flourish. The government is taking measures to curb the spread of fake news, to use the popular parlance for misinformation. Just over the weekend, though, Senior Minister Dato Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob, on behalf of the National Security Council, said that stern action would be taken against online portals that misreport the news. Interesting point there, and a bit concerning on the part of government taking direct action here.
Obviously, it would upset some people, especially the reporters and media owners. And this really comes on the back of newly issued guidelines by the Information Department on what constitutes fake news. I think on the part of the media, I think our job is really to make sure what we report is true or as accurate as what we know, and not spread false news or news that are not verified yet.
Yeah, I think one of the potential casualties of COVID-19 has been the disintegration of civil liberties. Obviously, media freedoms is one of them. And that recent initiative between Apple and Google to implement trackers into devices that could potentially affect, what, a third, maybe half the global population, because it's both Android and iOS together, right? It's one of those things that Julian Assange would be balking, losing sleepless nights over.
So, to discuss, maybe not that, but the media freedoms in Malaysia. Joining us on the line to discuss this is Alia Al-Hajri, journalist and representative from Gerakan Media Merdeka, also known as GERAM. And GERAM is a loose coalition of media rights advocates. Now, Alia, thank you so much for joining us on the line today. From GERAM's perspective, why is the directive by the National Security Council to take action against misreporting by online media problematic?
We believe the directive by the National Security Council to take action against misreporting by online media is problematic because it goes against the concept of self-regulation that we, together with other stakeholders, including media owners, have been working for through plans to set up an independent media council. We also believe that the government should not have arbitrary powers to decide what constitutes misreporting by any media outlet. What more in terms of such crisis where it can be used to justify such tough actions to be taken?
So you are concerned about the directive rather than the content of the directive?
Both, because the content of the directive is already unclear and the direction of the directive is also with not clear definition, then obviously the directive will also be problematic.
Could you elaborate or give us an example which part of the directive is confusing, potentially?
As we know, obviously the term fake news in itself is problematic because whatever is printed as news should be as accurate as possible. And if there are like genuine mistakes, it will be corrected. With regards to the government's definition of what constitutes fake news, there is no distinction between legitimate misinformation that can be corrected or deliberate disinformation with intention to mislead for any reasons. So this can trigger confusion when legitimate criticisms or critical facts are dismissed as fake news or disinformation.
So with that in mind, Alia, have the authorities been transparent and at least consistent in taking action against what has been deemed fake news and the perpetrators of this so-called fake news during this pandemic?
I think in the early stages of the COVID-19 outbreak, before the MCO, we see that the government have released more information about details of investigations and charges linked to fake news perpetrators. But since beginning of the movement control order, the number appears to grow larger. I think the last figure was around 250-something. And Senior Minister Ismail Sabri has regularly updated the number of investigations and charges, but not enough information about like what are they being charged for. I guess one good thing is that other agencies are doing their part. For example, through the Sebenarnya portal to clarify what they found was fake news or disinformation that's been going around.
So, Alia, with that in mind, how concerned are you about the potential tightening of media freedoms under the Perikatan National Administration? Are you seeing any signals from the government over here?
I think we at Geram see the potential tightening of media freedoms under the new government as a cause for concern. So far, we are not seeing the commitment to continue reform efforts pursued by the previous government. But I guess we will give them some time until like after this whole crisis is over to see if we can renew like any form of engagement. Also, not only because of the warning, but there appears to be increased targeted attacks by cyber troopers on certain media outlets, including calls on the government to ban or shut down its operation. Because of that, there have also been several like doxing incidents or harassment against certain individual journalists for supposedly inaccurate reports.
All right, Alia, thank you so much for joining us on the line today. That was Alia Al-Hajri, journalist and representative from Gerakan Media Merdeka. And really, I think this is one of the things we've talked about overall, right? The exit strategy from this. As governments across the world tighten their lockdowns and things like that in order to curb the spread of the pandemic, how are they going to let go after this? That is the concern, I think, for our democracy and for our freedoms. Because yes, this is needed, but it should not be something to be used going forward.
You know, control is intoxicating, isn't it? The more power and control you have over your people, the more difficult it is to relinquish it once those supposed prohibitions have ended, right? And that's one of the biggest concerns, because COVID-19 and all the problems that come associated with it have enabled countries and governments around the world to exert far greater influence over people's personal lives than ever before. The fear is that once COVID-19, when it ends, right, whether governments will give it back to people. That's the big issue.
So I think there are two things here. One, that's like fake news, like it's really fake, like the facts are wrong, people are misquoted, and there's evidence of fake news, right? That's extreme and that's very tangible. But secondly, there's this other thing about critical thinking and critical reporting. Is that fake news? And maybe that's where Alia is really most concerned about. I'll give you an example. After the breakfast grill that we did with the former Minister of Health, Dr. Zulkifli, I interviewed him. And after that, I actually got calls from various people about the need on how we should be more supportive of the government. What they're trying to do is a tough time, it's very unusual times, you know, nobody will get it right completely. But I don't see what's the problem of, you know, being open and being critical if the need has to be, but you have to be critical constructively, right, and asking some questions. If there are no answers, why are there no answers?
I think that's exactly right, Noel. There's a difference between critical criticism and hating on somebody or someone or an organization. And it is the job of journalists to question what is going on, commonly known as the fourth estate in the U.S.,
Yeah, of course, we are the balancing act, right? We are the ones who keep the politicians honest. And who's to say that the politicians are not the biggest purveyor of fake news themselves?
As the person who likes to use the most Donald Trump has shown in the past, I mean, right now he's discrediting reporters, saying that he said certain things about the COVID-19. And he's saying he never said that, even though the video evidence shows that he said it just a month ago when he was denying all of this. It is remarkable. But at the same time, it is that is the concern that we're talking about. That's why we want the government to do its job, but we don't want them to have all that power, right? No one organization should have the power to fully well, fully manage every aspect of it. You have to balance that between, well, for lack of a better term, the free market, essentially. But we'll see where the governments go. I think that's why it was so important to see South Korea do their elections. There was a sign of hope for democracy in a region where we have mostly strongmen leaders leading the charge. And obviously, Korea came out from its own military-esque government. So that's a very big taboo for them if the election didn't go on.
Well, if history has shown us something, it is that at times when the divide between rich and poor is at its most widest and the economies are in trouble, that's when you see the rise of populism. And history has shown us that the last time this happened was 75 years ago, in the 1930 to 1945 period, where you saw people like Mussolini, Adolf Hitler, and of course the Japanese emperor as well come out in full force and basically get a lot of public support. And what happened then? Obviously, hopefully it's not a template for us now. And that's why, I mean, today you'll see the populist leaders like Nigel Corbyn from the UK, Rodrigo Duterte from the Philippines, Donald Trump from the UK, from the US, and a whole clutch of others in Spain, Italy, and France as well. So even Najib was at one point in time seen as a populist leader in terms of his rhetoric, right?
So, yeah, and social media does propagate this echo chamber thing, right?
Yeah.
Where you put up something and everyone say like, they support, and then you feel good, and then you think you are right.
Right. And on that note, we are going into a few messages. And when we come back, we'll be talking about Zoom's explosion in the stock market and its popularity with analysis from Dan Romanoff, analyst with Morningstar. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.